Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is June 3, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Binance Korea deploys anti-money laundering tool from RegTech company CoinFirm. French renewable energy provider wins regulators' approval for 10M token sale. Vodafone enlists blockchain nonprofit for tracking renewable energy use in Europe. Coincheck customers fall victim to data breach after domain account error. Numerai raises $3 million in another NMR token sale with Union Square Ventures, placeholder. Hard fork sets stage for Ethereum Classic's second major departure from Ethereum. First mover, ECB stimulus may offer market hope after Bitcoin fails, again, to break $10,000. Lightning network overhaul could strengthen Bitcoin privacy but many ifs remain. Now let's get started. Binance Korea deploys anti-money laundering tool from RegTech company CoinFirm. Binance's Korean crypto trading arm is now working with blockchain analytics startup CoinFirm to better ensure anti-money laundering (AML) compliance. The extended partnership, announced Tuesday, will see CoinFirm's AML solution integrated with Binance Korea's services on Binance Cloud, a platform for launching digital asset exchanges. The platform opened in April to allow Binance's digital asset trading infrastructure to be rebranded by smaller exchanges for their local markets. CoinFirm has one of the most advanced analytics systems and data on virtual asset wallets related to money laundering crimes. We look forward to further working with them on implementing the best AML tools and standards, Jaewon Baek, Binance Korea's money laundering reporting officer, said in a press release. CoinFirm's AML and analytics platform is designed to assist compliance efforts, monitoring transactions and crypto addresses across around 1,400 blockchain assets and protocols, according to its own figures. The product is utilized by companies ranging from financial institutions to cryptocurrency exchanges. Binance's global entity announced its initial AML partnership with CoinFirm in 2019 to address international guidelines on anti-money laundering issued by the Financial Action Task Force (FATF) last year. Binance Korea was launched in November 2019, after months of indications that the exchange was seeking to set up shop in the nation. Binance has other local entities in Singapore, Jersey and Uganda, as well as a partner firm in the United States. French renewable energy provider wins regulators' approval for 10M token sale. Renewable energy services provider WPO has won approval from the French financial markets regulator to raise funding through a public token offering, or ICO. The Autorite des Marchés Financiers (AMF) granted the ICO approval under its ICO visa scheme on May 12, which is expected to run from September 8 through to November 12. Launched as part of a comprehensive legal framework for cryptocurrencies in 2019, ICO visas are designed to minimize risk for investors. Applicants must show the AMF they have provided all relevant information about the sale, as well as the risks involved, to sale participants. WPO will hold a sale of its green token, GTK, and Ethereum ERC-20 standard token with the expectation of raising $10 million, $11.2 million. GTX will begin trading at around $0.95, GTX will be able to be used to acquire and value goods and services from WPO and the Green Token Network, a professional community actively engaged in the operation and optimization of renewable energies, the firm said. On December 1, 2020, the token will become tradable on the French cryptocurrency exchange SAVITAR, as well as directly on the Green Token Network. This approval from the AMF is a key milestone to bring clarity and trust for investors. We are very proud to receive this approval and publicly offer this incredibly innovative tool, the Green Token, to immediately invigorate and optimize the production of renewable energy, WPO's CEO and founder, Barthélemy Ruhr, said. Founded 12 years ago, WPO is an independent renewable energy services platform operating in 10 European nations. According to its website, the firm manages around 5 gigawatts in its portfolio. Vodafone enlists blockchain nonprofit for tracking renewable energy use in Europe. With solar panels flooding power grids with more electricity than some utilities companies may know how to handle, telecom giant Vodafone and blockchain nonprofit EnergyWeb have devised a communication solution. The pair announced on May 26 that they will use Vodafone SIM technology and EnergyWeb's blockchain-based decentralized operating system as a communications backbone for the so-called edge devices that crowd power grids in the hundreds of millions. This SIM-based identity system could turn grids' increasingly distributed capacity into an information and control boon for the utility, said Walter Koch, CEO of the ZUG, Switzerland-based EnergyWeb Foundation. Grids now feature solar panels and electric cars and wind turbines and heat pumps that could all carry SIM cards, said Koch, who used to work at Vodafone. If they did, then they could also carry proof of identity to the grid operators via public-private keys. If I say I am a battery, the grid operator can be sure I actually am a battery and that I behave in this way. And then once I know that, I can actually start using this asset in how I manage my grid, Koch said. So that is what we're building, and of course what we've done through the partnership with Vodafone. Vodafone blockchain lead David Palmer said that the SIM's private key infrastructure allows devices to sign transactions on the EnergyWeb blockchain, all while remaining secure. In the long run, this could lead to the creation of a new digital energy marketplace powered by blockchain, he said. The beauty is that all these devices need is to have this connectivity for the marketplace to emerge, Palmer said. Many devices already do. Koch said that during his tenure at Vodafone in 2010, he saw manufacturers install SIM cards in everything from electric cars to washing machines. That trend has only accelerated in the decade since, making retrofitting rather straightforward. We can hook up through the SIM, we don't have to do anything, just download the software from Voda and it's connected to the chain and has its own identity, because that's the beauty of it, Koch said. Coincheck customers fall victim to data breach after domain account error. Coincheck has fallen victim to a data breach after attackers accessed one of its domain name accounts and used it to impersonate the cryptocurrency exchange. The Japanese firm, which fell victim to possibly the largest crypto hack in history in 2018, said Tuesday that an unknown third party gained access to an account it held with domain registration service Anime.com. An incident notice suggested the attackers then used its JP domain account to send fraudulent emails to customers. A third party who made unauthorized access, hereinafter, a third party, fraudulently sent some emails from our customers during the period from May 31 to June 1, 2020, reads the report. It turned out that the domain name was in a state where it could be acquired. Around 200 customers who sent replies to emails from the attackers are said to have data exposed. Coincheck said personal identifying information such as names, addresses, and ID photos may have been illegally obtained. It's possible that hackers were phishing for know your customer verification details so they could access client accounts, but the motive remains unclear. How the third parties were allowed to gain access to Coincheck's domain account is currently being investigated by the registration firm, Coincheck said. Although the exchange said funds had not been lost in the attack, it suspended crypto remittances until Oname's investigation is complete. All other services, including fiat deposits and withdrawals, as well as cryptocurrency trading, remain operational at this time. For customers seeking support, the firm is requesting that emails are sent to an address at coincheck.jp, not coincheck.com for the time being. CoinDesk approached CoinCheck for more precise details on the breach, but hadn't received a response by press time. Numerai raises $3 million in another NMR token sale with Union Square Ventures, placeholder. Numerai has sold an additional $3 million in NMR tokens to a slate of investors led by Union Square Ventures on the strength of its latest product, Erasure. The 17th largest dApp in terms of value staked on it, Erasure currently holds $2.1 million worth of crypto, according to DeFi Pulse. Erasure provides a way to have a market for information that enables the buyers of information to have more confidence that what they are getting is real. In March, Numerai released an easy way for users to interact with the protocol called Erasure Bay. Erasure Bay is demonstrating that you can trust other people online if they're willing to put some cryptocurrency at stake and let you burn it if they misbehave. We did not expect all these weird use cases but we're into it, Numerai founder Richard Crabe, who also invested in the round, wrote in a press release. So far it mostly seems like people have been experimenting with the platform as it builds a user base. Here's a simple $5 bounty seeking those interested in 20th century philosophy. Here's one of Numerai's investors paying for a valuation model for the token. Some interesting bounties remain outstanding. For example, there's a $2,000 offer on the full Jeffrey Epstein deposition video still unfulfilled. All stakes on Erasure are held in NMR but for simplicity's sake users participate using DAI. Numerai's core business remains that of operating a hedge fund. It has thus far used its technology to buy analysis from the open market that it uses to drive its own investment decisions, but the creation of Erasure Bay creates a new way to drive value and use for the NMR token. In March 2019, the startup announced an $11 million token sale led by Paradigm and Placeholder. Placeholder and Union Square Ventures were again involved in the latest round, along with CoinFund and Dragonfly Capital. Hard fork sets stage for Ethereum Classic's second major departure from Ethereum. Trail partners Ethereum and Ethereum Classic are soon to split ways, highlighted by the latter's successful Phoenix hard fork Sunday night. Executed at block 10,500,839 on May 31, the backwards incompatible network upgrade makes Ethereum Classic fully compatible with Ethereum. That is, until the larger blockchain swaps its consensus algorithm in a network overhaul known as ETH 2.0 tentatively scheduled for Q3 2020. The hard fork represents a major departure for Ethereum Classic, which is sticking with Proof of Work (PoW) while its sister chain moves to Proof of Stake (PoS) and sharding. In some ways, the PoS versus PoW split mirrors the foundational disagreement that led to the creation of Ethereum Classic. Competing interpretations of an infamous 2016 hack forced a contentious hard fork that splintered one developer camp into two. Since then, Ethereum Classic has largely played catch-up with Ethereum, which boasts the larger developer network. But now, Ethereum Classic is sticking with the tried and tested, etc. Labs CEO Terry Culver said in an interview. "We are comfortable with how PoW works," he said. Over time, we can address its challenges. Phoenix itself represents the third hard fork executed on Ethereum Classic in the last calendar year, preceded by Agarda and Atlantis, which also increased interoperability between the two chains. Sunday's hard fork onboarded Ethereum Improvement Proposals (EIPs) from Ethereum's last hard fork, Istanbul, conducted in December 2019. Istanbul amended gas constraints, added protections against denial of service (DOS) attacks and created options for interoperability with Equihash blockchains such as Zcash. Of those updates, Ethereum Classic developers were mainly focused on addressing various gas constraints under Ethereum Classic Improvement Proposal (ECIP) 1088. In both Ethereum and Ethereum Classic, gas constraints are fine-tuned from time to time depending on the network's needs. Denominated in the subunit GWEI, gas is a fee paid to the network for executing a user's transactions. Composability. Instead of following in Ethereum's footsteps, Ethereum Classic will now be a near neighbor. Interchain composability, Culver said, places the etc. community into a position to drive innovation. To that end, etc. Labs is carrying out projects on stateless clients and decentralized storage universal challenges everyone is facing, he added. Technical updates on the existing Ethereum will continue. Called ETH1X, the PoW-based Ethereum chain will roll out non-contentious hard forks including one late this summer known as Berlin until it bridges with ETH2.0. That date is years on the horizon, however. Culver said the Ethereum Classic community will likely adopt these measures as needed to retain interoperability. Directionally, Ethereum Classic will act as a base layer within the overarching Ethereum ecosystem itself, similar to the development of modern computing, said etc. Cooperative Executive Director Bob Summerwell. Ethereum and Ethereum Classic would live next door to one another and therefore support similar offerings, such as enterprise blockchain tools or decentralized finance, DeFi, dApps, but etc. would offer a tested mechanism to support those applications with PoW. You had Unix and then you had Linux and then you had iOS and all of these different families of related operating systems and related kernels, Summerwell said in an interview. I think it's likely that you're going to have something quite similar on the Ethereum side, that you're going to have many, many Ethereum-flavored solutions compatible to varying degrees. In that vein, Summerwell sees the need for an alternative, or many alternatives, to ETH2.0's scalability solution centered on POS and sharding, a database efficiency technique. Those who have been involved in Ethereum the longest know not to put too many chips in one basket, he said. Moreover, Summerwell said most dApps will most likely want to run on a second layer of the Ethereum or Ethereum Classic blockchains. Ethereum Classic can be a home for dApps as long as it can implement scaling techniques such as ZK rollups or optimistic rollups, he said. The base layer pattern that we know works is proof of work. You may not scale up that layer one ever, but maybe that's fine, Summerwell said. First mover, ECB stimulus may offer market hope after Bitcoin fails, again, to break $10,000. As Bitcoin struggles to break out of the range it's largely been stuck in for more than a month, some investors are looking ahead to Thursday's European Central Bank meeting for fresh monetary stimulus that might underscore the cryptocurrency's potential as an inflation hedge. Prices for Bitcoin shot up 8% on Monday to a three-month high around $10,200, then quickly reversed on Tuesday, falling back to about $9,500. CoinDesk's Daniel Khari reported that the price action may have been exacerbated by liquidations of derivatives trades on the Seychelles-based exchange BitMEX. You're reading First Mover, CoinDesk's daily markets newsletter. Assembled by the CoinDesk Markets team, First Mover starts your day with the most up-to-date sentiment around crypto markets, which of course never close, putting in context every wild swing in Bitcoin and more. We follow the money so you don't have to. The round trip disappointed some bulls who had speculated that a break above $10,000 might kindle a longer-term price surge. There is a long-standing resistance level just below the $10,400 mark, which has proved to be a tough hurdle several times over the last 9 months, eToro Markets analyst Simon Peters wrote Tuesday in an email. The ECB, led by Christine Lagarde, could decide Thursday to expand its Pandemic Emergency Purchase Program, or PEP, by about $500 billion, $560 billion, from an initial target of $750 billion set in March, economists with the UK bank Barclays predict. According to the Financial Times, the program would otherwise run out of firepower by October. If we judge that further stimulus is needed, the ECB will be ready to expand any of its tools in order to achieve its price stability objective, Isabel Schnabel, a member of the ECB's executive board, said last week in an interview with the FT. The PEP, like the Fed's quantitative easing programs, is designed to support markets and inject fresh money into the financial system through purchases of government bonds and other assets. Quantitative easing, or QE, was initially an experimental and controversial monetary practice, but over the past decade has become a mainstay of major central banks in lieu of further interest rate cuts. And with the coronavirus pandemic shuttering economic activity earlier this year, central banks quickly resorted to new rounds of QE, in addition to emergency lending programs. According to Bank of America, total assets on the balance sheets of six major central banks, including the ECB and the Federal Reserve, have surged to about $20 trillion, from about $15 trillion in 2019. The amount is forecast to reach almost $25 trillion by 2021. Among crypto traders, a prominent investment thesis is that these massive money injections could eventually stoke inflation, which could be good for the cryptocurrency, since its supply is capped at a maximum of 21 million units. This repeated and literally unlimited use of fiscal and monetary expansion will dramatically push up the quantity of fiat money required to buy non-quantitatively easable things, like Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, Dan Moorhead, CEO and co-chief investment officer of the digital asset-focused investment firm Pantera Capital, wrote last week in a monthly letter. While inflation is currently muted, due to lagging economic demand, the bet is that the price dynamic could change as countries across Europe and many U.S. states move to relax lockdown restrictions, allowing non-essential businesses like retail stores, bars and restaurants to reopen. Pedro Febrero, an analyst at the cryptocurrency and foreign exchange research house Quantum Economics, wrote in an article last month that Bitcoin, along with other hard currencies like gold and precious metals, was likely to benefit considerably from continuing QE. QE will eventually push up BTC's price, he wrote. As government money becomes extremely abundant, assets with strong network effects and limited quantities tend to rise in price. Bitcoin, launched in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, has only ever existed in the era of cheap money, and QE doesn't look to end anytime soon. So an additional commitment by the ECB this week could reinforce the bet that as the prospect of inflation grows, more investors will eventually turn to Bitcoin. Trend, having trapped bulls on the wrong side of the market with a rapid $800 decline during Tuesday's U.S. trading hours, Bitcoin is now consolidating around $9,590. Longs were overzealous at the top, tweeted popular analyst at the CryptoDog in response to the violent pullback from $10,130 to $8,300. Indeed, most analysts and investors were expecting Monday's pennant breakout to power the cryptocurrency onto stronger gains. It seems the bulls paid little attention to trading volumes, which were calling for caution. Breakouts seen in Bitcoin and other major cryptocurrencies were just spikes that lasted less than an hour, preceded and especially not followed by sustained volume, confirming that they were just triggered by stop losses without much conviction behind them, said David Lifchitz, chief investment officer at Exo Alpha, a Paris-based asset management firm. Tuesday's drop was accompanied by a surge in selling volume, red bars on the chart above, and further losses may be seen in the short term. Supporting the case for deeper declines is a failed pennant breakout seen on the daily chart. Analysts consider failed breakouts as powerful signals of bearish reversals. On the downside, key support is located at $8,630, May 25th low, which if breached, would violate the bullish higher highs setup. A sustained move back above $10,000 is needed to restore the uptrend. That may be a tough task, as Bitcoin has failed multiple times in the last 12 months to establish a firm foothold above $10,000. Lightning network overhaul could strengthen Bitcoin privacy, but many ifs remain. Research is being conducted. Experiments are brewing. Behind the scenes, Lightning network developers are planning to, eventually, completely rewrite an important part of Bitcoin. Known as Bitcoin's second layer, since most of the action takes place off the blockchain, Lightning is being built out for faster, cheaper and more scalable Bitcoin payments. The network is functional today, but it turns out it might make sense to strip out an important part and replace it with new technology to strengthen privacy. Hash timelock contracts, HTLCs, are an integral piece of the Lightning network, making it possible to send payments without trusting anyone. Now, developers are exploring replacing them with point time lock contracts, otherwise known as payment points or PTLCs, which can do the same thing, they say, but better. The idea was first proposed by pseudonymous Lightning developer ZMNSCPXJ, whose open source development work is sponsored by Square Crypto, an R&D arm of the Silicon Valley payments unicorn. At the forefront of exploring this enhancement is SherdBits developer Nadav Cohen, who started looking into the idea because he was interested in the possibilities of Bitcoin smart contracts, which describe more complex conditions required before a payment can be made, such as requiring a certain date to have passed, or requiring that the temperature somewhere be above, say, 90 degrees. I've spent a lot more time digging into what can be done using PTLCs that can't be done with HTLCs, and it turns out you can do some pretty complicated contracts without losing the privacy and speed provided by the Lightning Network, Cohen said. And furthermore, many existing Lightning-related proposals can become even more powerful and improved when using PTLCs. While the Lightning Network is still relatively young, developers are finding new, better ways of constructing it from the ground up. For example, L2, if implemented, will also be a fundamental change to the network. New possibilities. The Lightning Network is a global payment system made up of at least 12,000 nodes. When someone sends a payment, under the hood it hops from one node to another until it reaches the destination. All this most likely occurs in a fraction of a second. The way payments move across the system without trusting the nodes that the user is passing their Bitcoin through is by way of HTLCs. HTLCs are so named because each node in a payment path receives a hash, a random-looking string of letters and numbers, which hides the secret that can be used to retrieve the Bitcoin. One problem with HTLCs is that all intermediaries in the path get the same hash, which can be a problem from a privacy point of view because it gives snoops a little better idea of where a payment is coming from or where it's going. If I was trying to do surveillance of payment activity on the Lightning Network, I could set up a bunch of routing nodes, and if I route two payments in two different places that have the same hash, I can be sure that these two payments were on the same route, which narrows the possible senders and receivers of this payment considerably, Cohen said. PTLC, on the other hand, can add a random tweak at each hop, Cohen said, making it harder to tell that they are part of the same payment path. Those interested in the technical bits can read Cohen's series of technical explanations. This is the reason Cohen believes the change is necessary for Lightning. Developers have been trying to improve Lightning's privacy as much as possible. Bitcoin is quite transparent because every transaction is recorded in a public repository. The Lightning Network's off-chain transactions might show promise in changing this, since payments are not indelibly imprinted in the Bitcoin blockchain. As a bonus, PTLCs open up some other possibilities too. They build in some protections against wormhole attacks, used by malicious actors to sneakily pilfer fees that are supposed to be paid to intermediary nodes, Nadav explained in his post. And useful information can be stored in a PTLC, making it a possible tool for more complex smart contracts. Specifically, there is very little useful information in a hash, while there is significant information that can be stored in a point, Cohen said. In this way, PTLCs could be used for escrow, for example, or for oracles, long a hot topic in cryptocurrency, where payments depend on data incoming from the outside world. Waiting on, Schnorr. Cohen and others are actively researching the change and its potential impact, but it will take some time before developers can make the shift. Technically, the change could be added to Lightning now. At a virtual Lightning hackathon last month, Cohen, Blockstream engineer Jonas Nick, and others created a proof of concept over Elliptic Curve Digital Signature Algorithm (ECDSA). Cohen argued that the change is the best if it's built on top of Schnorr Taproot, a likely upgrade that hasn't made its way into Bitcoin just yet. Schnorr Taproot offers a new way to sign transactions in Bitcoin, which is how a user cryptographically proves that they own Bitcoin and are allowed to transfer it to someone else. Schnorr Taproot offers advantages over Bitcoin's current signature scheme ECDSA. Without Schnorr ready yet, Cohen and others only plan to use the ECDSA version to experiment with PTLCs in a sandbox so that once Schnorr rolls around, they'll be ready. Aside from theory, there is finally a way to do experimentation now. I am really looking forward to seeing all of these proposals which have only been on paper come to life finally, Cohen said, adding, I don't intend the current coding work that has been done using ECDSA adapter signatures to end up in any Lightning implementation's actual production, but rather I intend to use ECDSA adapter signatures to test out the large set of proposals that require PTLCs, as well as try to hit the pain points that are not specific to ECDSA-based PTLCs, so that we can have as much of a head start as we can before Schnorr arrives and it is time to commit to a way of doing PTLCs on Lightning. Coordination. But the steps don't end there. Once Schnorr is through, the change will require quite a bit of coordination. The good news is that Lightning developers Cohen has talked to agree the change should be made. So far, there's only been debate about implementation details. I have yet to talk to a single person who does not believe that someday Lightning will for sure move to using PTLCs instead of HTLCs. I have met people who disagree about various implementation details, but I've never met anyone who doesn't think that PTLCs are inherently superior to HTLCs without any real downside, Cohen told CoinDesk. But even with agreement that the change will improve the Lightning network, it is a huge change that will take time. Rather than a few changes, this would to date be the largest network-level update undertaken to the Lightning Network thus far, said Lightning Labs CTO Olaoluwa Osuntokun in an email discussing the change with other developers. I'd caution against underestimating how long all of this will take in practice, and the degree of synchronization required to pull it all off properly, he added. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.